As of right now, Peter, December 27th, how do you feel the Maryland Health Exchange is operating, both the website and the entirety of the calling, the navigators, the brokers, the whole nine yards?
Well, I think everybody from the governor on down would admit that it's not where people would like it. It is considerably better than it has been, but it certainly has a ways to go.
Are you recommending to people that they don't even go to the website and just call you direct or call other insurance?
Yes, I think the way that it is working best, frankly, is with navigators who are the sort of nonpartisan people hired by different nonprofit groups in different areas of the state, or what are called captive producers who are insurance brokers for insurance companies. When you want to join that insurance company, they kind of know the workarounds to get through the system. Going online by yourself is actually still pretty difficult to do.
Well, what does that say about the amount of money that has been poured into this website that, you know, 2 months after this thing has started, that you really can't do it by yourself, that you need help in order to find affordable health care coverage?
Well, I think both at the federal level and the state level, the lesson to be learned is pretty clear, and that is that what needs to be done and what the federal website has done is hire a very technically savvy information technology expert to run the process. And that was unfortunately not really done at the state or federal level. Because the federal level has done such a thing with a guy named Jeffrey Zients kind of running the project and information technology specialists fixing it, the federal exchange is actually working quite well.
All right. That then leads to my next question from Congressman Delaney, Democrat in Maryland, who has suggested that maybe we allow people in the state of Maryland to enroll through the federal exchange and not necessarily go through the Maryland State Exchange. How will that affect you, number one, and would you be in favor of such a move?
Yeah, we've been asked that, and actually probably 2 or 3 weeks ago I would have said that's something we should seriously consider. The state exchange is working better now. And frankly, the amount of work it would take to switch over to the federal exchange and connecting electronically to it, would probably take longer than it would to fix the Maryland exchange. So although it's not a terrible idea, I think for simplicity's sake, and because the exchange is working better here in Maryland now than it had been, that we should really work very, very hard on getting this fixed as quickly as possible.
The number of people who have enrolled through the health exchange is very small. You were expecting bigger numbers than what we have right now. How are you going to make ends meet as you look down the road?
Well, as I think we may have talked about last time I was on the show with you, it's been the silver lining has been that we've been able to be nimble because we're a very, very small company,
right,
and switch our marketing strategy to small businesses off the exchange, So we are about 50% lower cost in many instances than some of our major competitors on the small business market. And so we've been going after that like a wildfire. So all over the state, we've been going after small businesses. So, you know, in many ways, the return on investment for getting 15 or 18 people covered is greater than just going one at a time through the individual exchange.
You know healthcare as well as anybody. When you look at the numbers that they say that are needed in order for this whole thing to work, they're talking 150,000 people need to sign up through the exchange. One thing that's never made sense to me is, according to the Census Bureau, the number of people uninsured in the state is somewhere between 600,000 and 800,000. Let's just call it 700,000.
Correct.
If you only have 150,000 people that are signing up through this exchange, you still have hundreds of thousands who are still not getting health care coverage. How does that work?
Good question. So there are about 750,000 uninsured Marylanders, about 200,000 or 150,000 of whom are above the subsidy level, so they can buy directly from insurance companies, so you can take that off the top. So that leaves about 600,000, of whom about 300,000 are eligible for Medicaid, many of whom will go through the exchange, but many of whom will not have to go through the exchange because they were part of a program called PAC, and they automatically are enrolled. So that leaves about 300,000. So the bottom line is you're somewhat correct in that 150,000 of the 300,000 that would sign up with subsidies that would still leave 150,000 uninsured. But that would be a big enough pool of insured people, if you will, that it would make a significant difference. But that's a good question.
All right. Do you think we're going to get to that 150,000?
Not unless, I think, in all honesty, they're going to have to extend the enrollment period beyond March 31st.
And do you think there is will to do that? Do you think that, have to be done by the president, by the way?
No, I think that can be done at the state level. I'm not 100% positive, but I think, frankly, with the administration making, the federal administration making so many amendments to the process, that I think that if they are not close to the 7 million nationally that they're aiming for, and they probably will not be that close to it, that they probably will extend the enrollment period a month or so, just my guess.
Very good. Dr. Peter Bielenson, we appreciate your time as always, the CEO of Evergreen Health Co-op here on Maryland's Morning News.